flavour.
This is Cambridge Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds, they don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pies!
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like? Condicious.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Flavour, Cambridge Radio's look at the local food and drink scene. It's been a cold week, but Alan Alder and I have been out seeing what's new. So what have you come across this week, Alan?
Well, a few weeks ago, a new name appeared on the radar, the Cherry Pit, which is in King Street. It opened this month and I went along and discovered a most beautiful, stylish cafe. And we'll hear more about it in a moment. Where have you been, Matt?
Well, I've been down Mill Road to check out Relevant Cafe and Bar, which originally opened 10 years ago, but has come under new management. So I went to meet them and check out their food.
And Sue Bailey, who we're sorry can't be with us today, has been visiting a cafe that's been in Cambridge for 25 years. It's not on a main street, so it's easily missed.
We'll also hear from Calixta Kilander, who runs Flourish Farm and the Farm Shop, and she'll be talking about the philosophy that underpins what they do there. Rosie Sykes has some ideas for warming soups, and we'll have our regular features too. Free food in Cambridge, local food and drink news, including news from Inda Bull, ex-Inda's Kitchen, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup.
But first, the Cherry Pit, where I went on Tuesday and spoke with owner Ellis. Ellis, here we are in the Cherry Pit, which hasn't been open very long.
No, just the start of the year. January 2nd was our official opening.
Right, and can you tell us what it's about?
Yeah, the Cherry Pit is sweet pies and vinyl. So cherry pie, apple pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, and a whole load of new and used records to browse. And
we do
coffees and teas as well.
Yeah.
So a nice place for a sweet treat. And
Indeed. I've seen on reviews people have been very complimentary about your pies, actually.
Oh,
where are they from?
I bake them all in-house myself.
Oh, I see, right.
I
think the pecan pie got a bit of adulation, didn't it?
Yeah, the pecan's popular. People often ask me, which pie do I choose? They don't know which pie, and I can't choose myself. But pecan's very popular. The cherry pie is our signature. Pumpkin, I think it's an unusual one people like to try.
Well, I think pumpkin pie is really nice, actually. And presumably, as the year progresses and new fruits become available, you adapt or change the...
Absolutely. I'll be doing all sorts of specials. The thing about pie is it's so versatile. There are so many different types of pie, even sweet pie, and I think it's a bit untapped in the UK. Pie in the UK is often savoury, and I've got a lot of love for sweet pie, and there's so many to do. There's lemon meringue, key lime. I'm going to be doing a brownie pie for Valentine's Day with some cherries in there too. So, yeah, I want to make hundreds of pies.
Where did the idea come from of combining pies with vinyl?
Well, I think, oddly, pies and music have a strange connection. There's a lot of songs about pie. I think it invokes like a lot of sort of nostalgia and emotion, both music and pies. And yeah, they go together well. They complement each other. I did put a pie on a record player. They seem to fit perfectly. Didn't play anything, of course.
And when people come in and they're interested in vinyl and pies, can you predict what sort of pie a certain music lover will like?
That's a good question. Well, I think the cherry pie is quite a classic in films and things like this. I know there was the passing of David Lynch recently, and his series Twin Peaks was very pie-centric, and a lot of Twin Peaks fans came in having a black coffee and a cherry pie, which I really appreciated, and there's a lot of music that goes along with those sort of films.
And I was wondering, okay, cherry pies are popular. I was wondering what was popular in music. You've got a lot of Beatles records. Are they very popular?
I haven't sold a Beatles record yet, but I have a lot of Beatles records because I adore the Beatles myself. I wanted to make sure I had every album. I've stocked kind of a nice range of all the classics. got some Bruce Springsteen, a lot of Elvis, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, of course, for Cambridge.
Of course.
I've got new and used, and I've got quite a bit of country because that's a bit of a personal preference of mine, and that sold surprisingly well, actually. So I think there might be a connection there with the homemade country pie, you know, and the country music, and there's the American feel, of course. So.
All right. Okay, and you've got what, teas, coffees?
Yeah, I've got a nice range of teas, peppermint, you know, English breakfast, ginger, decaf as well, of course, and the coffee has been very well received. I had a friend help me out with there, and they found a wonderful micro roastery in London. They really appealed to me because they source really good quality coffee from farms that are mostly owned by women. I think a lot of the workforce in the coffee industry are female, but there are very few that are actually owned by females, and I think it's wonderful to be supporting that cause.
So. Yeah, and what's the roastery also called?
They're called Coborn.
Right.
Yeah, and it's
okay.
Very delicious,
nice.
I recommend.
And it's a beautiful looking cafe, do people comment on it? I love the front, it's so stylish.
Oh yeah, people comment on it all the time. People walk past and are always looking in and looking curious. Yeah, it's very, very vibrant. I think the colour, the yellow, the sort of pale yellow, I was inspired by butter.
Oh,
and vanilla,
well,
you know, so
very fitting.
But yeah, it's got that sort of American diner feel, which
yes,
people really like. Yeah,
it's just lovely, and some great pictures on the walls as well.
Mm.
Okay, I'm sorry, when are you open?
Tuesdays to Saturdays, 9:30 to 4:30 p.m.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much, Elise.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds like my sort of place.
I thought you'd say that. It's my sort too. I bought a slice of pecan pie and a slice of cherry pie while I was there, and I had them warmed up at home later, and both were just really good. The cherries were delicious and the pastry was superb, and the pecan pie was just fantastic. I like nuts, so it is my sort of thing, but it far surpassed what I was expecting, and, you know, hours after I'd eaten it, I was still thinking about it and wanting more. That was on Tuesday. By Thursday, I gave in and I went back to the cherry pit, and this time had the pumpkin pie, which was just fantastic. Ellis's pies have got so much flavour, and I think it's going to... those things that I ate are going to be one of my gastronomic high spots of the year.
So whereabouts on King Street is it?
Oh, it's number 82, so it's just by Effie's Turkish restaurant.
Oh, wow, that's a combination of food and vinyl records. It's really becoming a thing, eh?
Yeah, because just up the road from the Cherry Pits, up Victoria Avenue, is Ellie Matter, which we featured a while ago, which has sandwiches and a little vinyl room. Yeah, a nice move.
Mm, and talking of music...
Now details of free food available in and around Cambridge, and the information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app, and that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
That's right. And on Olio today, we have got a bunch of batons. That's tiger batons, white batons and scotch rolls. These are all giving away by Aris at Clare Hall. Ben on Malcolm Street near Sydney Sussex College has a pack of microwavable egg fried rice for collection. And looking outside of town, we've got Tim in Milton, who is a regular on Olio. He's got a pack of parsnips going free, which could be blended into a really zingy soup. Whilst Sylvie at the Wellcome Genome Campus in Sawston has saved a whole load of pre-made sandwiches from going to waste. Toasties and wraps, and they've got fillings like smoked ham, egg and mustard, cheese and onion, smoked salmon and cream cheese, and lemon and thyme chicken salad. And that is just a very brief look at what's being given away on the Olio app today.
Yeah, sounds good to me. And of course, there's the other app we talk about, Too Good To Go. Has unsold food from restaurants, cafes and shops, and often less than half the normal price. Instead of specifying each unsold item, the surplus food is just put into a magic bag ready for you to take home. And all sorts of places in Cambridge use it. Greggs in Cherry Hinton, Marks and Spencer's at the station, Spa in Cheston and Sawston, Budgeons in Arbury, the Clayton Hotel, lots of them, lots of them.
Well, let's go on to our first news break now for the 25th of January. And tomorrow,
It's Trumpington Allotments Society's Seedy Sunday. It's open to everyone, and admission is £2 and free for children. There are seeds from Tomasetti and Heritage Seeds, and some seeds to swap as well. And there will be a cafe with cakes. This is all at Trumpington Village Hall, and it runs from 1:30 to 4 p.m.
Brew Board's taproom and beer shop in Pease Hill, which was originally going to close after New Year's Day, is now there until the end of February. And when I was going there the other day, they were hosting a clothes pop-up, so a pop-up in a pop-up.
Jack's Gelato will be open from 10 a.m. on the 31st of January up to midnight on the 1st of February. Now that is 38 consecutive hours. And you can get an ice cream breakfast from 1 minute past midnight on the 1st of February. Ideas for breakfast flavours are invited, and then recipe testing will begin. Just don't suggest bubblegum.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah, I think it's National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day or something obscure. up to the end of this month, Aromi in Bennett Street is offering two pizzas for the price of one, and that's after 6 p.m. Monday to Thursday, and they can be eaten in or ordered online.
There's an organic garden pop-up on Valentine's Day at the Wine Rooms in Hills Road at £49 per head. And there is a Valentine's special at Market House in Market Square. The cost for that is £80.
Hidden by Pudini is producing a Valentine's Day box to enjoy at home, and orders are being taken up to the 10th of February. Collection will be from their Willingham base between 4 and 6 p.m. on Valentine's Day, and the cost is £100. And they're also having a Valentine's Day supper at their base with a fantastic menu. And Pudini is restarting its roast dinner boxes in February, two courses for £30 per person.
The Linton Kitchen and Barbarella Cafe have Valentine's Day dipping boxes. Now, each box contains a jar of salted caramel, a jar of double cream dark chocolate ganache, 4 mini red velvet cookies, 8 brownie bites, fresh strawberries and raspberries, marshmallows and dipping skewers. Now, you warm the caramel and ganache, and then you let the dipping commence. They're available to order from the Linton Kitchen in Linton or from Barbarella's in Chesterton Road, Cambridge, for collection on the 14th of February. Cost is £29.95.
That sounds like your sort of thing as well, Matt.
Even alone. Which probably will be.
On the 16th of February, Finboys has a pop-up Sunday lunch with sea trout Wellington and a selection of starters that include oysters, sashimi and cheeses, and it's £50.
Finboys online shop has frozen ready meals which will feed a hungry one, or with vegetables, feed two people. They're £12 each, and available now are tuna moussaka and fish pie. You can order online and pick up from Finboys on a Wednesday, Thursday or Friday. Also available are a dozen oysters for £36.
Yeah, Finboys was mentioned recently by Bea Wilson, MBE. She said that their fish soup with Gruyere, Rouille and Crouton might be the best thing she ate last year. That's quite an accolade.
It is, yeah.
And a recipe that's close to it, she says, is in Claudia Roden's Mediterranean Cookery. And one more sort of late piece of news. Who can forget Inda's Kitchen? Remember Inda's Kitchen? We used to feast them a lot. Inda's Kitchen, if you're newish to Cambridge, did extraordinarily good Indian food delivered to your home. They won the BBC... Oh, they didn't win. They were a runner-up in the BBC's Food and Farming Awards a few years ago. And really, they were a trailblazer for home-delivered food. And Inda was ahead of her time. Fantastically good food. But it closed a few years ago. But on the 20th of February, Inda is doing a pop-up at Cafe Abantu. And the menu details and booking information are coming soon. And Inda will be here on the next edition of Flavour to talk about it.
Lovely.
And I think that's the news for now. More later.
OK, now, if you smell freshly baked cakes and croissants wafting down the Romsey side of Mill Road on these snappy winter mornings, it may well be coming from Relevant Cafe and Bar. A few months ago, it came under new management, courtesy of Turkish couple Evin Kutku and her husband, and this is their first cafe.
If I was a customer, I would come here to eat like nice vegan cakes and gluten-free.
It doesn't feel like you're coming to work, does it, Demet?
No, it doesn't, no. I just come for drinking coffee.
It's an all-day breakfast and brunch cafe. It's all homemade.
It's welcoming.
Hi, we're here at Relevant Cafe, 260 Mill Road.
Yeah, it's homely and cozy. And if I want to go out in the evening, I don't really want to go to a pub anymore. I don't want to go to a club. You know, I'm a mom with two kids and I'm tired. But I do want to go to my favorite cafe and listen to some music. So it's perfect.
We love olives. We can eat olives all day. Yeah, we have to have olives on our Turkish breakfast, jam, honey and butter. And it comes with a side salad as well. So it's a nice, fresh dish.
I come here enough to get their smiles.
Even though here we are in a cafe that's been taken over by a Turkish family, there's not all the obvious tropes of Turkish food here. There are no kebabs, etc. It's very far from that, in fact.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I almost didn't notice that the owners changed because I walked in and I saw almost the same sort of cake and rolls dishes here. Only when I looked around the corner, I saw the menemen on the counter, then I saw it on the menu, and that's when I realized. So it seems like the normal neighborhood cafe that I've always known, with the addition now that I get my favorite dish here.
It's an open kitchen. We prepare and we serve everything in front of the customers. Everyone sees what we do. So you see everything.
Evan opens up Relevant Cafe at 8 a.m. every day and starts cooking.
I start by baking the sausage rolls. Our sausage rolls are very popular.
We have a lot of regular customers. The minute I come in, they come in as well with me. They always drink English breakfast tea. I love them. I really love them, but I just don't want to run because I open the door and they come in immediately.
This is like when you're going home and you have to let the cat in with you.
Exactly, yeah. So after I open my coffee machine, I do my coffee and the day goes on, you know. We open our music and we chill sometimes. So it's really fun. So at my show on Monday, I was hoping
someday you'd be on your way to better things. You come up from London. Did you have a cafe in London?
My husband was doing kebab takeaway business in London. I come from an NHS background. But when I was a student, I always worked in cafes. So after a certain time, I thought, no, I do want to cook for people. I want to bake for people.
And Evan's Relevant Cafe is quite far removed from the somewhat traditional image of a Turkish cafe. So let's have a quick rundown of the menu.
Eggs Benedict.
Egg Florentine.
Eggs Royale.
Egg Relevant.
Rubin's Rosti.
Rubin's Rosti, a vegetarian, vegan and gluten-free dish. It's sweet potato rosti, smashed avocado and hollandaise sauce, with salmon as an optional extra.
There are days that people are just having the same dish in the kitchen. We say today is Rubin's Rosti day, today is Eggs Benedict day. That's we joke about it.
Back to the menu.
Vegan brunch.
Smoked salmon and cream sandwich.
Smoked bacon.
Egg and bacon sandwich.
Shelford sausage.
Veggie sausage sandwich.
Halloumi and shrooms.
Menemen.
Turkish breakfast.
Turkish eggs.
The meaty.
And the veggie Mexican brunch.
Turkish eggs are a good brunch dish, and they've become really popular thanks to social media. Here's what Turkish eggs are, for those who don't know, including me.
First on the plate, we put garlicky natural yogurt. After, we put two poached eggs on top of it. You just mix the egg and the yogurt when you're eating. And you put on top of it...
Drizzle some spices with olive oil.
Oh, yeah. We put that and we put some either brown bread or white bread or Turkish bread as well. And so you can just dip your bread and eat your egg and yogurt together.
Yeah, it's very popular as well. So a lot of people come just to eat Turkish eggs here. Yeah. As well as Turkish eggs, we have another dish called menemen.
Menemen.
It's a vegetarian dish. And it's been selling really well because a lot of people do like to try new things and they just love it and they come back for it. Yeah. I'm chopping some red onions at the moment. That's how we begin making menemen.
Is menemen a very popular dish in Turkey?
It is, as a brunch and a breakfast, especially in the summer when the tomatoes are fresh and the green peppers as well. It's a nice warm dish. It fills you up. So while we cook the red onions and the green peppers, I start chopping my tomatoes. we don't really want big pieces of tomatoes in our menemen. It should be melted, almost melted, and mixed with eggs afterwards. I'm just adding some chili flakes as well. We like it a little bit spicy.
Of course, you don't have to have chili in this menemen dish. Many people prefer it without.
Yes, menemen is one of my favorite dishes when I go out to a restaurant or a cafe. I feel it's really healthy. I see tomatoes, paprika, onions, eggs, and, you know, why should I have a piece of cake if I could have this and feel good about myself? I'm German, but in Germany we have a huge Turkish population.
Enjoy. We have fortune tellers in Turkey. So you drink your coffee, you give it to them, put it upside down, and you wait for 20 minutes and they see your future. I know it's not true, but it's fun to do when you're drinking a coffee. So I usually do that when I go to Turkey. It's just fun and we laugh.
The more froth you have makes it a better Turkish coffee.
Yeah. Very similar to an espresso, then. Yeah. I just wonder if any Italians have... You've seen any Italians in here drinking Turkish coffee?
Did, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. They had it and they loved it. And we also serve it with small Turkish delights.
Good combination with the bitterness and the sweetness from the Turkish delights.
Sometimes what they do in Turkey is they give water as well, because, you know, the bitter sometimes hurts, or you need to drink something. So you first drink your coffee, a bit of water, and then your Turkish delight. That's how it works.
It wakes me up in the morning. That's what I have in the morning.
Maybe this is true of most people. No matter what place they work at, whether it's food-related or not, everything has a certain smell, something they're almost expecting when they turn up in the morning before they even walk in. Mm-hmm. An office can have a smell. A factory can have a smell. And likewise here.
Yeah, it's cakes, cinnamon. Because we use cinnamon in many of our bakes, in general, the smell of cinnamon.
Would you say similar, Demets? Are there like signature smells to this place?
Because I'm a barista, usually I smell coffees, and even I'm at home and I'm not working, I miss the smell. So I really like it.
So here we are at the front counter. We're just going to pick out a few things that you think would be really enticing to the listener. I must say, as an incredibly big, muscly guy, I'm instantly attracted to the giant sausage rolls. Now, as you say, everything here is made here on site, and you can tell straight away here how deep-filled these sausage rolls are, with a beautiful egg wash.
Yeah, we get our meat from a butcher in Shelford. They make some special sausages for us. There's always something cooking in the oven.
I also really like when people says really nice comments about menemen, because some people never tried menemen before. And because I love menemen, it's my favorite dish. So they come and tell me that it was really nice and they're gonna come again. Normally in Turkey, every single day I eat it at the mornings. So it makes me really happy and grateful.
After this cafe, I didn't look anywhere else. I just wanted to be here. I could see myself here. This was like a dream.
So nothing else really compared?
No. I must say, I really enjoy it.
That was Evan of Relevant Cafe and Bar on 260 Mill Road, a lady who really, really loves her business. And I say cafe and bar because they have an alcohol license and they have a future plan to open up in the evenings as a bar. And they're going to feature live music as from next month. Relevant Cafe has outside seating, it's dog-friendly, and they're looking to open about an hour earlier too. Even though in that feature I said that Evan opens up at 8, that was opens up at 8 to cook and prepare, whereas I think what her new plan is to open up and be ready at 8 to serve people. So check them out on Instagram too. They are at relevantcafe_bar.
More news now, and there's a fermentation class and meal run by Fermentable on the 22nd of February from 10 till 2 at Storiesfield Community Centre in Eddington. It costs £85 with a two-hour fermentation workshop followed by a three-course lunch cooked by Rowan Halstead, who is a Michelin-trained chef. The lunch is based on the techniques presented in the workshop and is vegetarian, and you can book your place at fermentable.co.uk.
Soul and Duck in Trumpington Road has a Chinese New Year five-course special evening on the 29th of January. And Parker's Tavern has a five-course dinner with Nye Timber on the 30th of January. That's at 6:30 at a cost of £95.
And on the 5th of February, Cambridge Wine Merchants is celebrating the flavours of Argentina, along with Hisper Wines and Six Brasserie. There will be 5 wines paired with a 3-course menu at Six Brasserie on the 6th floor of the Varsity Hotel in Thompson's Lane. That begins at 7 p.m. at a cost of £75.
White Cottage Bakery has announced dates for its Tuscan baking retreats. They are the 3rd to the 9th of May and the 24th to the 30th of October. And here's owner Helen Underwood from 2023 talking to Sue with some details of what the retreats are like.
And I gather, rather exotically, you run classes in a castle in Italy.
That's right. I'm incredibly fortunate to be invited back every year, and in fact twice a year, to a beautiful, beautiful castle called Castello di Potentino in Tuscany. It's down in the south of Tuscany, really in the middle of nowhere. It's set on its own little hill in what's known as the Golden Bowl. So it's a volcanic set of hills around it. And we make cheese whilst we're there using the milk from the sheep that you can see grazing. And we make beautiful breads and other sweetmeats from Italy. We visit the local hot springs, and which have natural volcanic hot springs, which are just beautiful, wonderful. And of course, we use the olives and the olive oils from the grounds, and also the grapes. At the right time of year, we'll use the grapes as well. And in fact, we use the grapes to make our sourdough starter on the very first day that we start, when we run our autumn workshops there. In the May, there's lots of foraging to be done. So in the autumn, we concentrate on the grapes and on the olives. It's at the start of the olives season, and so we get the first pressings of the new olive oil. But in the spring, it's very, very lush and verdant, and it's when you get the very best milk from the sheep for pecorino and ricotta. So we get the most beautiful cheese-making process at that time of year. So I'm looking forward to that. And also the foraging, just perfect for foraging. We might even get wild cherries in May. They just about the right time for that. And not only that, if we're really lucky, the bird song is unbelievable at that time of year in Tuscany, and the nightingales might just join us.
That sounds amazing. Thank you so much. So that was Helen Underwood, White Cottage Baking School.
And that's the news for now. We'll have more in the second part of the programme, when we'll also visit a 25-year-old Cambridge cafe, find out about the ideas that lie behind Flourish Farm and Farm Shop, and get some warming soup ideas from Rosie Sykes and updates from social media, and more news and jobs, if there's time. We'll also be looking at some of the food coverage in a couple of today's papers too. So that's all coming up in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
Sunday on Cambridge Radio. In Cambridge Challenges, Lewis Herbert hears what impact a single unitary authority might have on the City Council. He's joined by City Council leader, Labour's Mike Davey.
For someone in Wisbeach to be sitting in Alconbury making decisions about what potholes should be filled out in Cambridge feels a bit wrong to me.
Tim Bick for the Lib Dems.
The arguments for me have always been about simplicity and accountability and the ability to take joined up decisions.
And Naomi Bennett for the Greens.
I represent Abbey, which is one of the border wards, and the City Council border cuts right across our natural community borders.
Cambridge Challenges, Sunday at 12 and anytime at cambridge.radio.
Need legal advice you can trust? Woodfines Solicitors offers a range of expert and award-winning legal services, whatever your problem. Running a business can be stressful enough. Without having to tackle legal problems, such as contracts or disputes, Woodfines can help. Our expert team will advise you on what's best for your business, large or small, and offer high-level technical advice on a whole spectrum of issues. And we're upfront and transparent about our costs. Find out more about what we offer at woodfines.co.uk. Woodfines. Cutting through the red tape.
And welcome back to Flavour. Let's kick off with a trip to Congratulations Corner, where we can see, among the balloons and party poppers, Stir Bakery, which has opened yet another branch, this time in very impressive surroundings at Adam Brooks Hospital. The Queen's Head in Newton is mentioned in the Financial Times online as being one of Britain's top 50 cosy pubs. The Queen's Head is such a nice place. Also in Congratulations Corner is Claire from Indigo Cafe. That's the tiny cafe in St Edward's Passage, which runs up the side of Cambridge Arts Theatre between Pease Hill and King's Parade. And Indigo Cafe has now been open for an amazing 25 years. And Sue Bailey spoke to owner Claire about how things have changed in that time and what they're selling.
Claire, I gather you are quite a fixture in this location. Tell me more.
Well, we've been here for 25 years, so I think we've seen quite a lot of the recent history of the city come and go. And, yeah, we've managed to sustain ourselves in all that time. Got a lovely base of regular customers, could always do with a few more, though. And, yeah, it's lovely being next to the theatre, getting lots of staff and actors and students being right in the city centre too. So, yeah, it's all good.
Wow, so you get quite a lot of people who sort of wander down towards the market just off King's Parade, who see this lovely little passageway and think, oh, what's down there? And then they find you.
Well, that's the aim, yes. Obviously, we're a tiny passageway. We don't get a huge amount of passing trade, so we do try to encourage people to step off King's Parade and away from the market and find us tucked away down St Edward's Passage. And yes, so we tend to attract the right kind of people who are looking for something a bit different from an independent cafe.
What are the things you've noticed the most in terms of change in the food sort of area and in the type of food that you do in the last 25 years?
Well, in the centre of Cambridge, the market is completely flooded, basically, with food offerings now. I could say that 25 years ago when we first opened, there were maybe two or three cafes. There were no Starbucks or Costas or Nero's. So people really had to make the decision to come for a coffee where they knew they could find a cafe. And the main streets were shops, not restaurants and cafes. And that has gradually changed over the years. So in the centre of Cambridge now, the main streets are a majority of restaurants and cafes and chicken outlets and fast food places. And, you know, so it is very challenging kind of maintaining your slice of the market when there are so many other places, you know, selling coffees and teas to take away as well. So, yeah, that is a challenge. That is a real challenge. But, you know, as I say, we've managed to sort of diversify a little bit and selling oat milk and in this kind of thing. So we're sort of keeping ourselves above water.
And you do a really lovely range of coffees and teas and herbal infusions and some lovely food. Tell me a bit more about your food offering.
Well, we specialise in a lovely array of cakes. We have both vegan and gluten-free options. We make hot soups and toasted panini sandwiches. Again, a range of vegan, vegetarian and meat fillings. We have our homemade coleslaw and salad to put on the side of your sandwiches. And yeah, we also have ciabatta bread for making just regular to-go sandwiches.
What would you say your most popular ones?
Oh man, that's tricky. We've got a lovely range of brunchy paninis, things like smoked salmon and scrambled egg and bacon and cheese and tomato. They go down pretty well, but I think the classic ham and cheese melt is always a winner, with a few dill pickles as well, maybe, you know, just for a bit of extra piquancy.
And who makes your cakes? Because these look really yummy.
So they're from a company called Cake Smiths, who do nothing but make amazing cakes. While I love making cake, and I'm not bad at making cake. Unfortunately, if I make a cake and try and cut it into pieces, every piece is a different size and shape. And that's not good when you're selling them at a fixed price. So yes, finding a company that can make excellent cake but make it all uniform and look amazing is great. And as I say, they do a brilliant range of vegan and gluten-free as well.
And that was the Indigo Cafe. On to more news now and more baking classes. Maison Clément is having two classes in February. This is the first for Maison Clément. On the 9th of February, there's a bread making class covering baguettes, focaccia and croissants. There's 4 to 5 hours of hands-on baking with a small team of 5 bakers per class. The cost is £70 and it begins at 10 a.m. That's in the Hills Road branch. And on the 23rd of February, also at Hills Road, there's 4 hours devoted to macarons, 2 different types. That's £50, and in both classes you take your produce home. 80% of the income from these classes goes to the charity Kia Survivors. And to book or for more information, contact Monica via email, office@maisonclement.co.uk.
Supper clubs have been the subject of a Financial Times Globetrotters article, which says that Generation Z-focused supper clubs are replacing sticky dance floors, bars and dating apps. Well, here in Cambridge, we are hoping that the success of the Guider Street Supper Club, which is not Gen Z-focused, heralds the arrival of more. And the next Guider Street Supper Club is a Jamaican night. That's on the 22nd of February, with a menu that includes saltfish fritters, brown stew chicken and curry goats served with rice and peas, fried plantain, candied yam, charred sweet corn salsa, avocado salad and coconut green beans. Really sounds wonderful. And that is £55.
It does sound wonderful. Greenpeace has a petition calling for an end to plastic-wrapped fruit and veg, excessive plastic packaging, unnecessary multi-packs, and for reusable packaging, refill stations, just add water cleaning products and soap and shampoo bars. It's available online.
Also online is a survey, not a petition, about Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire's markets. It's not going to be there for much longer. It's only up until the 2nd of February, and it covers all of the local markets. Now, it says that feedback will be used as part of a report to make recommendations about long-term support for the markets. Now, if you're concerned about the proposed plans for the city market in Cambridge, it would be worth filling in that survey. One of the questions is about whether you like events in the market square. Now, we asked the traders about that, and they said that the area around King's Parade, near Great St Mary's Church, is supposed to be used for events, not the market square. And in the issue of events, it's important because the market can't run normally while events are on, and events are most likely to be on at weekends, when the traders make most of their income.
Looking ahead, there's a spring pop-up market in Grantchester Village Hall on the 5th of April with local bakers and other independent food folk, as well as home decor and pre-loved items for sale. And that runs from 10:30 to 3:30. And that's the news so far.
OK, now, one of the local success stories over recent years has been the increase in the amount of produce being grown in such a way that, for example, reliance on pesticides, herbicides and heavy use of water is eliminated, and care for wildlife, including bees, is emphasised, as well as care for the soil structure. One of the protagonists in this drive for sustainability is Calixta Kalanda. Jazz Chadder spoke to her for Flavour.
From when I was very young, I was very interested in the environment, and it definitely led me to wanting to do more and to have a career in something to do with that. So I ended up studying sustainable farming in America and working after that on farms all around the country. So I got to learn from many different kinds of organic regenerative farms in a large range of different climates and topographies and areas. Which was very, very beneficial for when I eventually ended up coming back here to start the farm. There's a few things that sort of, in the early days, we were much smaller, we were a market garden. And in the beginning, I used working horses, Bill and Ben, to do all the farm work. So the soil is the most important thing. It's brown, you know, most people might not be as switched on to realise quite how important it is, and that's very understandable. But ultimately, everything that we are growing comes from the soil. And the soil is very much kind of the heart of the life cycle in nature as well. So if you have really rich, fertile, healthy soil, not only are you able to grow beautiful, healthy, nutrient-rich food, which is much better for us all to eat because it has all the nutrients and vitamins and minerals that we need to be healthy. So for us, these regenerative practices that we do in terms of adding lots of compost, having very in-depth cycles in how we rotate our crops around the fields, making sure there's lots of diversity in the soil in terms of the plants that we're growing, therefore the roots that they have, the connections that they make under the ground. These are all things that we are very, very intentional about because of the benefits, not only to nature, but also to humans in the food that we're producing.
So the work here at Flourish has led to the opening of a new farm shop and cafe. Why do you feel it was important to make this step? And what makes you different to other farm shops in the region?
Because we're a small shop, we can be intentional about what things we're supplying. We're offering things from local farms, seasonal other goods that maybe we don't produce ourselves, and other small makers that are creating things in the local area or around the UK. We focus very much on what is British, but obviously there are a few things from a bit further afield. And in connecting with the locals via the different products that we have, we've had a platform for other things such as doing events and connecting people more to the farm as well, things like pick your own flowers, which is so important because we are a real farm, and what we're producing is offered in the shop. So it's really authentically, genuinely a farm shop, not just a shop selling farm goods.
So sustainability, ecological farming, and supporting local makers, growers, artisans, farmers and producers seems extremely high on your agenda. And the farm shop is packed with high quality, durable and aesthetically beautiful products. How important is this intention of sustainability, community and quality to you and in your selection process?
You know, everything here is done by hand in a very intentional, careful way with a lot of consideration. And that has also gone into the things in the shop where we want to support other small businesses who have those same ethical sort of standpoint when they're thinking about how they're producing things, using very high quality ingredients, using things to make their products where they understand the origin and the source and the impacts of those things.
So you recently put out a pop-up event of food trucks, market stalls, local makers and creative practitioners. How important are events for you at Flourish, and what do you hope to cultivate as things grow and unravel here?
You know, we want a place where we can allow people to have really amazing experiences here on the farm, whether that's picking flowers on a pick your own flower day or coming to one of our off the beaten truck events where they can have an amazing time here on the farm with their families eating delicious food, or one of our more curated events in terms of workshops and evening talks and so on. You know, it's a wonderful place to come and sort of be on the farm and to be connecting with different people who are doing such wonderful things, sharing information, telling their stories and so on.
So lastly, what do you believe and hope Flourish can perhaps create for the local and wider community, i.e. engagement with sustainability, ecological farming and produce?
Well, as I've been farming, things have definitely changed, and it's really wonderful to see that over the past 6 years, there's a lot more interest in sustainability. There's a lot more interest in provenance and in healthy eating, which is really fabulous. And there's a couple of different ways that I hope in the future we can do more. That's definitely through connecting people to the farm, more of these events. I think the shop is a wonderful sort of gateway for that to happen. But in terms of educating people about farming, about food, about the importance of all the things to do with, the choices that we're making, and wildlife, nature, those sorts of things that we sort of hold very dear to our hearts here at Flourish. Another thing definitely is the idea of giving people opportunities for employment too. I think that's something that we're really excited about, that as the farm is growing, it's opportunities for people to be involved in regenerative farming and to be offering jobs that have a lot of education in terms of nature, wildlife, land stewardship and obviously regenerative agriculture, whether that's on the farm or working in the shop.
It was such a joy to come down here today and learn a little more about the positive practices, powerful intentions and engaging vision behind Flourish Farm Shop and Farm. So thank you for taking a moment out of your very busy day to talk to us, Calixta.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Calixta's Flourish Farm blog has been recently updated, and you can read there about what they're doing and about the team members. There's Supercharge introducing our wine news, and at Cambridge's Wine Merchants Bridge Street branch on the 4th of February, there's a Thracian wines tasting. Now, these are wines from the lowlands region of Bulgaria. It's a 7:30 start and it costs £20. Food can be ordered and menus will be distributed to guests before the event. You can get tickets from any branch, online or via Eventbrite.
And on the 5th of February, Amphora has a cheese and wine tasting at Darry's in King Street. There's a structured tasting of four cheeses with cheese expert Charlie Gerard, and at least four wines with wine expert Chong Chong Bo, and the cost is £45.
And Thorn Wines has a tasting of Lirorakis wines at Stapleford Granary on the 5th of February from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. The wines are from Crete and there'll be eight to taste with Greek meze to complement the wines.
There's a tasting of wines from Rioja and Ribeiro del Duero at the Wine Rooms in Hills Road on the 19th of February. And that's the end of the wine news.
OK, well, it's been a cold week, so how about some ideas from local chef Rosie Sykes for some warming soups?
I'm a big fan of soup, I must say. And with all the root vegetables, it's a perfect time. And there are some really fantastic combinations. I'm really lucky. I've still got beetroot in my garden. So I've been digging that and making beetroot and apple soup with a little bit of horseradish in, which is absolutely delicious. But I suppose what we should do is just start with what I think makes a really good basis for a soup, because then really the world is your oyster. Well, the world is your soup tureen, let's say. So for me, one of the main principles of soup making is to start with a decent amount of fat, because some people will add cream or milk towards the end of a soup. But I find that if you start with a good amount of fat, you're incorporating that richness right at the beginning, and it gets into all the ingredients. So it makes for a much more rounded soup. And so I would normally start with a really good chunk of butter, really good chunk of butter, and a splash of oil just so the butter doesn't burn. And then I would usually, depending on what the soup is, go for a good couple of onions, red or white, sweat those down for 10 minutes with some salt on a very low heat with a lid on, so they get lovely and sweet and they melt themselves into whatever fat. You could, by the way, use a really, really generous glug of light olive oil or a nut oil mixed with another oil, any kind of oil or fat, really. And then depending again on what your end product is going to be, I would possibly add some leek, maybe a bit of celery, maybe some carrots, and let that cook away with the onions. Then throw in garlic, maybe ginger. At this point, you could add spices. And then your sort of main ingredients. So say that was beetroot, celeriac, sweet potato, pumpkin. You know, the world, honestly, all those wonderful vegetables out there, it's absolutely perfect. And then with root vegetables, I tend to go for quite a smooth soup. So I would then stick blend it when everything's wonderfully soft. I would stick blend it. So you get a really nice smooth finish, because I just think, especially with lots of fat, that's the nicest way to go. But then there's a whole other raft of soups. I've made this week mulligatawny, which is a wonderful, wonderful soup, which is essentially, again, sweated onions, lots of spices, turmeric, cumin, coriander, maybe garam masala. In my last one, I put some onion seeds, some mustard seeds, really up to you. I'm sure there is a proper set thing in a mulligatawny, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but certainly always turmeric, cumin, coriander, and chili, garlic, ginger, a bit of chili. I tend to put in fresh chilies if I have them. And I also put in some desiccated or flaked coconut at the beginning and let that cook in with the spices. Then some orange lentils, some tinned tomato, you know, not a whole tin probably, and some stock. Let that cook away. And then I just finish it with some lime juice and chopped coriander. And that is a very warming soup. And another really delicious soup, meeting a stew, but I do it as a soup often, is a harira. Well, it's a North African stew, which they often eat when they're breaking their fast during Ramadan, because it's very, very carb heavy. It has rice, lentils, and chickpeas in it. So it's a wonderful filling dish, a pot sticker, let's say. A similar plan, you start with a load of onions, maybe add a pepper if you've got it, add some squash or some sweet potato, because generally it's made with lamb or chicken. So, and you could do that if you wanted to. And then add some tinned tomatoes, some stock, let that all cook away. Add some lentils, let that cook a bit more. And chickpeas. And then the idea is that you just throw in towards the end a handful of rice, or a small amount, a very small amount of rice, and just let that very slowly cook in. And then it's nice to leave it, if you can, for 12 hours for the rice to completely sort of take on all the other ingredients, everything to get to know each other, and then reheat it with a little relish, which you make by just whizzing up coriander, ginger, and I put some lemon zest and juice in and a little bit of oil. So that's a lovely one. There's so many delicious things. And then you've got all the options of what you can have alongside the soup.
Well, thanks very much to Rosie Sykes for those ideas. And Rosie has excellent ideas on her Instagram account at Rosie Bluebell, which is actually mentioned in today's Kitchen Aid section of The Guardian's Feast magazine, which says, Rosie Sykes, author of Every Last Bite and the brains behind the Friday biscuit on Instagram. So that's nice to see. Well worth following.
And I'd also like to mention, because that feature was about warming soups, Cameron, his stall is called The Halluman down at Cambridge Market. Now, he does soups over the winter and during colder periods, and he gets all of his veg and his ingredients donated to him by other stall holders, and then he gets just makes some really lovely, exotic, unusual, really fun soups.
Just a job.
Yeah. And there's the music signalling time for news from social media.
Yeah, recently updated on Instagram, Meet the Brewer, 6 to 9pm on the 19th of February at Brewboard's pop-up in Pease Hill. We've used the word pop-up an awful lot today. They must be making a comeback, I think, Matt.
It pops up a lot.
Indeed. There's Taco Tuesday at Scott's All Day on the 28th of January with really quite cheap prices, and added to the menu are some vegan tacos. Fiona Patisserie, whose chocolates sell out almost instantly, has some new stocks, so you can go to her website and order them. What else has come up? Oh, a series of nose-to-tail meals coming up at Parker's Tavern on the 5th of February. Well, the series starts on the 5th of February, 7pm, £39.50. The first of a continued series of banquet feasts where Chef Lee Clark is set to butcher a whole pig, from which he will curate a special sustainable menu demonstrating how every primal cut of the animal can be used. Expect tureen, sausages, braised pork belly, slow-cooked collar, brawn on toast, all finished with local Cambridge honey. That will appeal to you, Matt. Yeah, and if you don't already follow Flavour on Instagram, we are now at FlavourCam. So, that's the Instagram news. And we thought we've got a bit of time, so we'll have a look at what's in a couple of newspapers. The Financial Times magazine, which is about to change, actually, or the food section is, because next month Jay Rayner joins, reviewing restaurants. And Tim Hayward has been writing more generally recently. He's had some rather surprising articles. Of last time, I think he did an article about Greggs and McDonald's burgers. Mm. And the time before that, he did something about... racking my brains. The permit rooms, you know, the Shoom's sort of offshoot. And today he's writing about, well, plates, really, and how important having a decent plate is, not a sort of, you know, fancy one. And he says he had a meal on a surprisingly delicate plate with a sort of abrasive surface against which knives regularly scraped. He says, if it had just been someone running their fingernails down a blackboard, it would have been blessed relief. the shrieking of the knives on the plate, conducted through your skull like somebody had clamped your head in a vice and was going at your teeth with an 8-inch Stanley half-round rasp. So, you know, he knows how to make a point.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. The menu section is in the Financial Times magazine is the secret to a great ragu, which turns out to be a kilo of onions. Jancis Robinson is talking about wines from Ukraine. And there's a very interesting little thing called Chef's Notebook, in which a New York private chef talks about the stresses of going into other people's homes to actually cook for them. And, you know, you're terrified of dropping something or snapping a precious knife or something like that. Have you got time, Matt, for me to go on a bit more?
Yeah, we've got a few seconds.
Right, well, I need more than a few seconds. In The Guardian, Rachel Roddy is talking about tuna and potato cakes. Her recipes are always, always fantastic. But there's the most extraordinary sentence I think I will ever read from Benjamina Ibahui, Sweet Spot column, which starts, "Marmalade isn't everyone's cup of tea." Isn't it? Is it your cup of tea, Matt?
I like it when it's got plenty of shreds. I think over the years I've noticed fewer and fewer shreds in marmalade.
Well, we've just in our house, we make 52 jars a year, so we like marmalade. And Thomasina Mia talks about hot sauce, which are the best hot sauces, which you'll be able to get at the Cambridge Cheese Company. They have a fantastic selection.
Lovely.
Anyway, that's the newspapers and a bit of a ramble. On to our job section now. Eclipse Bakery is looking for two bakers at any level because training will be given. And this is for their bakery in Fenstanton. And they are full-time roles with a typical start time of, gulp, 3 a.m. That's 3 a.m. in the morning.
3 a.m. And Aromi has vacancies for cafe managers, pizza chefs, a kitchen manager and drivers. To find out more, just email jobs@aromi.co.uk. And there are vacancies at Curb Collective for baristas and bakers too. And I think we're almost running out of time.
Oh, well, Stir is looking for a head of marketing for 25 to 30 hours per week. Someone with at least 10 years experience and ideally some of that spent in hospitality or the food and drinks sectors. You can email recruitment@yourstir.co.uk if you want to apply. And the Gog Farm Shop is looking for a front of house manager, a chef and a junior chef. You can email your CV and covering letter to hello@thegog.com.
And that takes us to the end of the programme. Don't forget we're here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 2 p.m, and available as a podcast from all the usual places. Coming up next on Cambridge Radio is The Music Mix, followed at 4 by Home with Lucy Milazzo, and then it's Cambridge Challenges at 6 p.m.
But that's all from us for today. We'll be back on the 8th of February with lots more food and drink news, jobs and features, and until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.